Good morning once again. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15 will serve as our text. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Let's get our context, beginning in verse 13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So in our sermon this morning, we will look at the 3 points which arise from our text. First, Christ has disarmed principalities and powers. Secondly, Christ has made a public spectacle of them. And third, we can rejoice in the fact that Christ has triumphed and achieved total and complete victory over the forces of darkness, yea, even sin and death itself. Christ has disarmed principalities and powers. Now, the principalities and powers spoken of here are the devil and his evil angels, as well as any heavenly or earthly powers that are engaged in promoting their agenda, namely the agenda of hell. Christ disarmed them by his death, for his blood was the purchase price for the redemption of men. As we find it written, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope are in God. Christian friend, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. The forces of evil, the forces of darkness, have been disarmed of the sword of condemnation. Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The demonic hordes have been disarmed of the arrows of the law. For Christ has fulfilled the law and its requirements for us, for you. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who what? believes. Just as it was told him in the Garden of Eden, in the very first presentation of the gospel, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Satan would bruise his, that is, Christ's heel, but Jesus would bruise his head. Satan would have his little Pyrrhic victories, as it were, for a little while. But these would not be lasting victories. They would only be needles in the side of God's people. But there is one who stood up once for all for you and for me. An advocate who would come before the throne of God and say, yes, the defendant in this case, whom you, Satan, accuse, may sit here and stand here in this courtroom wearing filthy rags. But behold, I have clothed him with my righteousness. Therefore, the gavel comes down. Not guilty. The power of death has been broken by the death of God himself. Now only God himself could conceive such a plan. If we in our human minds were going to try to figure out how God would do it, we'd probably come up with something like, God will just come in the clouds and snatch up all the ones he wants and make a quick end of everybody else, and that'll be the end of it. A once for all judgment. But God in his infinite wisdom has chosen to send his Son to die for our sins, that we might live. Christ has made a public spectacle of them. The victory over his enemies is known by all. As Paul testified to Felix, this thing was not done in a corner. Jesus Christ didn't come down and minister and perform his work when nobody was around. The disciples were around. Those Jews and Gentiles who believed in him were around. Those who disbelieved, who persisted in their rebellion, they were around. And yes, the pagan powers of the earth were around. Indeed, this thing was not done in a corner. The angels are witnesses. The holy angels rejoice. The devil and his angels have been put to shame. Men and women are witnesses. Believers rejoice. But unbelievers fear. They have cast in their lot with the losing side. Perhaps a healthy fear of God will cause you, unbelieving friend, to cast your lot in with Jesus the Christ. You have everything to lose and nothing to gain by staying in your sins. So think about it. What are you going to do about it? Where will you go if the roll is called and your number is chosen? There are two books spoken of in the Bible. We did a detailed study of this one Friday evening. There's the book of life, or the book of all the living, and there is the Lamb's book of life. And we know which book is spoken of in each passage by the context in which we find it. All men and women are in the book of all the living. Every name is there. Those who are redeemed have their names in the Lamb's book of life. And when we read that names can be blotted out of the book of the living, what is actually happening here is that those who persist in their rebellion have their names blotted out. In that, when the heavenly roll is called, those who persist in their rebellion will be absent, and the two books will match. When the roll is called, will your name still be found there? You may think you're in hell now. That may be true, in a manner of speaking. But it is strange to use this statement as an excuse to choose to go to hell later. If you're in hell now, and it's not so much fun, why then would you want to go to a place twice as bad? Common sense would dictate that you might choose to flee from the wrath which is to come. For the axe is laid at the root of the tree, and judgment is coming. Many have refused to heed the warning. As for you, repent, or you will likewise perish. Well, now we're at point three. John the Baptist has left the building, and Christ has triumphed and achieved total victory. So let us join the angelic hosts in declaring this truth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors, the sinners. That's you and I, friends. So, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then there shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. That is, the bruising of the heel that we spoke of earlier. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has once for all dealt the death blow to principalities and powers that did not have your best interest in mind. That's an understatement. Therefore, but my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Christ has won the victory. This is an encouragement to Christians. On the other side of the coin, it is a spiritual death sentence to unbelievers. The promise to believers is this: He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You can be free from the power of sin which besets you. You can look up and pray to the sovereign King and God of the universe. You can know that no matter what life throws at you, there is a loving and merciful God in heaven. The blind man knew one thing: I was blind, but now I see. Daniel knew one thing: I don't have all the answers, King Neb, but there is a God in heaven who does. Let us now go forth and choose this day to become partakers in the salvation which Christ so freely offers to you. And believers, make the choice to stop playing games in whatever areas of your life that you've been playing games in, and choose to live according to the victory which He has accomplished already for you. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for the power of Your holy word. May it cut to the heart of all of the men and women in this place or who hear these words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.